So we haven't been able to meet for 2 weeks, so I'd just like to say hello to everybody, and I hope that you all had a good Thanksgiving, this American holiday.
네, 디네 다 아직 나라이 나로 나로 몽구르나 강기라 드레 마지막에 아마 디네 디네 디사다 강기 강기를 봐지 슬슬 기분 정신은 야 니마 찍니 찍어야 니마의 기분 때셔서야 디네 야 기분 잘해서 그런 소리 디네 시 차이를 제발요.
So for me, it's been many years since I've been able to be in the snow. So having a little bit of snow made me very happy. But then after that, we had some nice like sunshine, and that also made me happy. So I hope you all have been equally made happy by various things. So here then, as per usual, we will go beginning with doing a little bit of meditation, and then I'll continue with the text, and then we'll go into question and answer. So really, we only have like today and one other week left, and I think I'll probably end up going through the last bit of the text today, and then next week we don't have a class because of the holiday. But so following that, if there is something in particular like new that you all would like me to speak about or some kind of questions, you could bring that to me. Otherwise, I'll find something to give a teaching on, find some kind of a topic. So here, in terms of meditation, like last week, we'll do a kind of particular, a special sort of meditation. And so for today, we should try to begin by placing our body in a really calm kind of a state. So allowing yourself to relax, not being like rigid or tight anywhere, particularly like if we are holding ourselves really tightly, like our back or our spine, like really jammed in or something, we don't want it to be like that. We want to be sort of relaxed and natural, or like in your chest, if you feel kind of tightness, to release and relax that. And likewise, like our relaxing of the body, our mind too should be sort of at ease and relaxed, kind of in the present in a sort of fresh or vivid kind of a way, not thinking about thoughts of the past or not thinking about things, expectations, hopes for the future, but really trying to place our minds kind of in the present in a calm and kind of aware manner. So, here, this kind of meditation, we have just done a few minutes of this, but this is something that we can learn the technique and then do in our own space and time at home. And so, whether you do this for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, however long it may be, you can try doing this kind of meditation. And during the course of this, where we're trying to sort of place our minds in the present moment, we find that many different things will appear. We will have all kinds of appearances that arise to our minds, many different concepts and so forth. And so we need to be able to recognize that these really, like when we examine them, they aren't really anything. They aren't something like solid to hold on to. Like, for example, if we have the appearance of some kind of a form, we examine, well, what really is that form? Looking at the various, like, components that make up that form, we see various parts, and we can divide all the way down until we get to, like, partless particles. We can't actually find some kind of thing, some kind of particle, even a partless particle or an atom or something that exists in the way that it appears. So when we do this kind of examination, say with something like forms, all the way down to the very atoms, we see that there's nothing that is to be found that exists in the way that it appears to us. But if we were to take something then like consciousness, we look at the kinds of thoughts that arise in our head. If we're thinking about something in the past, well, the past is already gone. It's not really here. And when there is something that is to come, is in the future, it hasn't yet arisen. But even when we try to pinpoint the present moment, we find that we can't actually do that as we further divide into earlier and latter, like moments, trying to get down to that smallest moment of the present. We can't actually pin that down. We can't actually find that. And so in that way, we can examine the various kinds of appearances, whether it's thoughts or forms or whatever it may be, and see that they don't actually exist in the way that they appear, and kind of try to rest our minds in this sort of vivid, clear emptiness that arises. And this kind of practice, engaging in this sort of meditation, can be very beneficial for developing like peace and calm in our mind.
Then mutuni kontoina anesem shitreyate chevrcheyore ne disem shari mutuni sosu tachi nyamnyo sege 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 che komkem nyamnyo sege 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 che ni moyajire imba indu anesem pishit kakka ka che mutu ditonege sosu dangatane ani komkem chiyesu.
So we've talked about a lot of different meditations, like meditating on love and compassion and various topics like emptiness or our feelings and so forth. But we should sort of learn from our own experience what is beneficial for us, what brings about a kind of peace and calm for our mind and so forth. And when we see based upon our own experience, then what is beneficial, we will have the kind of we will understand that we need to continue to practice that, and we will really, as we gain experience in these various things, we will continue to see the benefits of them or reap the benefits of them from our own experience. So we can choose among the various kinds of meditation that we know about to really work in accordance with our mind, and I would encourage you to do so.
So ni zo rus ta ti no ma te no zo te shi ti su re ni ta su nam ta yi shi ge so ni se de ta ma ran zu ge ji la ya nam ba san ge pe ge che che ne pa du ge yin bei na ni ge wa ti la ya ma na su nam so cha chi ya ma na yi shi so cha chi ti ni ma to yo ma ta du na su nam so da yi shi so ni du ru re ta gu bu lu du ge te do レジチメシャムティラ。ゲワティ、キウォーク、スナムイシ、ソソジ、スナムイシ、レチュメ、タンバコニトラシュウ、セイドゥビ。アニ、スナムイシ、レチュメ、スンドア、スナムティ、レトキ、コカリウムリエスンドゥ、ソジコティングリエス。スナムトプレアチチョクチェラ、イシギソジトキ、アニカリウムチナ、ペゲトキ、ナムギ、オニア、モニコ。
我提出来的，啊，意识错了，你来听的，意识错了，听的，用个意思。我提前那个，当然说，说那么说啥，意识错啥，谁晓得说啥也听你来听的，哪些就接听了，看不是呢？啊，你说不当，说不你用个意思，我听了不嘞。 So then picking up where we had left off in the text, we were on, it's near the end, this verse that says, if you proceed thus, you'll swiftly perfect merit and wisdom and eliminate the two defilements. So here, when we talk about the accumulations of merit and wisdom, really, if you're to summarize all of the practices of the Dharma, they can be subsumed into these two. If we do something virtuous, it either goes toward the accumulation of merit or the accumulation of wisdom. So here, this really summarizes or encapsulates all of the sort of positive actions that we can undertake. And as Nagarjuna says in his precious garland, from the force of this merit, by perfecting both the accumulations of merit and wisdom, may I thereby attain the two bodies of form and the form and the truth body. So here, the kind of power that comes through our virtuous actions, those sorts of merits in combination with wisdom, it is on the basis of gaining or perfecting these two accumulations that one is able to then attain the two bodies, as in the form bodies and the sort of the wisdom truth body and so forth. So this then encapsulates the kind of positive actions that we undertake.
So
So here, in terms of like positing definitions, when we talk about the accumulation of merit and the accumulation of wisdom, the kind of definition of the accumulation of merit is that which acts as the basis for attaining the form body, that from which one attains then the form body. And the definition of the accumulation of wisdom is that which acts as the cause of attaining the truth body. So we can sort of posit the definitions as such.
So, Tarbatopala, Patuci, Tiberius Navas, and Mundibus and Lagari, D. Carlevorsena, Kurgi, Su Patuci, Tapatobe, Parjeci, Ritula Carasena, Mundibus, yes, Tarbasena, Kavalegorson, and so, Corvatilla, Tarsavi, Tandamas, Coral Pun, Deo, and Du, Corvatine, Tarna, and Tarpa. Yamana, Dra, Mumont, and Mutibli Shane, Dratti, Dratti, Mumont, and Mutibli Shane, Dine, Tarana, Tarpa, what this word, Tanzo, D. Tobrichena, Partuget Suris, and Matopala, Kati, Parchechi, and Suris, and Mutipki, or Mutipchi, or yes.
So, then continuing, it says, and so if you proceed thus, you'll swiftly perfect merit and wisdom and eliminate the two defilements. Since your human existence will be meaningful, you'll attain the unexcelled enlightenment. So here, sort of on the basis of what came above, you are able to eliminate the two defilements or the two obscurations. So based upon making those kinds of peerless aspirations and engaging in the seven-limbed practice, one can swiftly accumulate the two accumulations of merit and wisdom. And by doing so, one is then able to eliminate the two types of obscurations or defilements, the afflictive obscurations and the obscurations to, or sort of cognitive obscurations. And so those that are, we posit as the afflictive obscurations, are those that primarily act as an obstacle to attaining liberation, those of the type that obscure or prevent us from being liberated. So when we attain nirvana or get out of samsara, or freed from, liberated from samsara, the thing that prevents us from doing so is our afflictions. And once you remove those, then you are able to be freed from that. Or we can think about it in terms of being freed from a particular enemy. When you get rid of that, when you are able to overcome that or be freed from that, you then attain liberation. And afflictive obscurations are those which prevent us from doing so.
Chita, or that is what you get, Zayan Yombo, and then Yemen Yombo, when you say, Shiberiki, Mazuki, Parjeci, every Tesula, Munchip. That Parjeci, Shiberiki, Tichi, Gutan, Tiki, Begay, and it was just a Hongula Soba, Zayan Yombo, Yemen, Yemen Yombo, Tesu, Samara, Munchip, Ganya, the Word, and Munchip, Sapa, Mursuna, what is the Word.
So here, when we talk too about afflictive obscuration, these are really consciousnesses. So this can refer to our six sort of root afflictions and the 20 subsidiary afflictions. So like ignorance, desire, anger, pride, doubt, the view of the perishable, those sort of six root afflictions, and then the kind of other consciousnesses that we identify in terms of the mental factors, those that are the secondary kinds of afflictions, these are all afflictive obscurations. And so those that are consciousnesses, as in there's a way in which they grasp a particular object and there's an antidote to that, this is what we refer to as afflictive obscurations.
What did you say? 호랑 계체기 주 사비에 당체로 파 매워 소 톱소나 아니 다바 톱소 세워 다 안 좋다 배를 제거가 다바 톱소 세워 뒤 제거
So if you can eliminate those kinds of afflictive obscurations, as in those six sort of root afflictions and the 20 subsidiary afflictions, as together with the kind of causes that give rise to those, then one attains liberation. That's what we mean by that.
That then again, he tips this on a carasana, so the Tamjay came in Kuban Tobala, and Partuchi, Tiberic Sunday. Tamjay came as an Sanjay in Kuban Tobala, so Partuchi, Divatezola, and he tips. And he doesn't go on top of him by Naya, and he tips Pamena to do this. Sanjago Toyo Mare, and that is Shiribu Soba Konzo Tango, Tajunga Koma Toyo, Midip Sama Pare, Tondo, Shiribsi Fadel. That Shiribsi get the Karasa Sona, Tajinga Shebege, Dosha Shetan Kondo, Tatarin, Yamamba Tang, Yamamba Tezuka Shape, Pakja Chila, Pakja Teta, Pakja Tiwangi, Yanchi Maranzo, Peggy Mene Menaya, Peggy Mene, Nama. Namachpen, Nancha to be Dua, Ninan to be Chasiri, Maranzulta, you can dig in by Yanayan, Peggy Munet, Yomarte, Peggy Munet, Nama Shayan, or Peggy Munet, Nama Shayan, Nancha, Tuya Chasha, Nancha Tagaran, and Shitibri Seta. Nancha Tiki or Chege, and a Pacha Sejur, what D, and it is Seta, Shitibri Seta, Pachasana, Mursuna Karnagosuna, Pechasha Bena. ならず、ポペナが悲しい、チマシブ、シドシャウェナ。だってね、ポペナが悲しい、チマ、ジャンジャンサーサーな。トントゲ、ポペナが、チマシブで、ジャーデルバー。おでじゃーデルの神経、ドシャーダン、コントダンジャー、チマダン、メバスナヤ、トントチマジャーデルバー。ペギチマジャーシー、おでな、パジャーセーデル。
So then cognitive obscurations here are those that act as an obstacle to attaining the state of omniscience. And when we say omniscience, that really means the state of Buddhahood. And so here, in order to attain that state of omniscience, one needs to eliminate these cognitive obscurations. And so arhats, those who are the sort of vehicle, the Shravaka or the Pratyeka Buddha, although they have eliminated completely the afflictive obscurations, they still have remaining those kinds of obstacles, those obscurations to omniscience. They have not yet eliminated those completely. And so here, when we think about, well, what are the kind of cognitive obscurations, it's really when we have those root and subsidiary afflictions, like our attachment and anger and ignorance and so forth, although those have been eliminated, there is this sort of part of their appearing as being truly existent, so that a portion of this sort of appearance of phenomena is having some kind of duality. Those are the kind of the imprints that act as a cause for the appearing of that kind of subtle dualistic appearance. This is what is identified as the cognitive obscurations. So to give an example of this, like if we have some kind of container, some kind of bowl, and we put some really smelly sort of food in it, although you may have gotten all of that food out, we've removed it completely, there's still some kind of smell that remains within that until you clean it completely. And so too, with the afflictive obscurations, although they have been removed, there are still the sort of latencies that give rise to this kind of part of a subtle dualistic appearance that has still not yet been eliminated.
Olive. そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ、ね、そうだ
obscurations, then we attain that state of omniscience, the ability to know directly all phenomena. And so here, the example that is given, and I'm not sure if like I'm finding the right English word, is like having some kind of like a fruit in your palm. Like, and the word that they usually use is olive, but I almost want to say it's something that's like almost shriveled down, where you can see all of the lines and all of the kind of creases in it. So it's like being able to see all phenomena, like having it right in the palm of your hand. Because one has eliminated those kinds of a cognitive obscurations, one has nothing blocking, preventing the kind of knowledge of all phenomena, that state of omniscience. And so thereby, once one has eliminated such obscurations, you attain that full state of omniscience, of Buddhahood.
Mewsu, たうね、けんでスパンブレスな。さわね、メオス。だ、さわね、メオス。ね、それだんでけ。だ、がらんず、てばちんべししゃやしゃさな。とんなんばちんめなんて、ねがそ、みんじくんだ。さわね、メオス。れ、とんなんばちんめなんて。あにがこんなんばちんめなんてな。あ、こんなんじゃないばちんめなんてな。さにばん。さにばね、さ、てんべぽろてな。みんじくへんじせ。だ、がんず、くんぜんてにまいば。
ま、なんもしょしょけ。たべな天人、ならず天人返事せそうな、無せそうな、ね、ね、はこれ。た、けらず、なとんでけ。けしんたんご。たん、ちんだとば、なんずろわたちんだとばとば、しわたたんたんぼがとんでけ。あがまみこられ、がまみこられ、さんきょぞなしりとは。てしゃんとけ。で、天人返事。ままみてれせな。
ママ見て言ってるやまとママ見て言うとされこえ、にまもんぼ、たわもんぼ、けば言うとされ。かまねしゃばいな、かまじ言うと。すげえねじね、すげえに言うとさぎょうべ。言うわ、まんぼしゅうちがい。たん、けらんぞなわら、まとんて、ママが見くらんれ、言うわちゅうねまちんぱ。ママ見くらんれ、さんさんで。ろがな、しゅうしゅうけいわたこ、てんぜいへんじ、すげえてんねこれ、てんぜいへんじ。 だ、けらんと南半島の、ポソポトンで、ニャポポテ、ママタガラ、ママタガラ、サムサム返事、キグロワ。な、チョコチョコ、カンジトワイナ、ママタガラ、ママタガラ、サム。おでぎ、レオンと、タンジ返事、セーティ。だ、ティネシンゲ、ミュンジ返事、アニ、サ、ニバネ、サニバネ、サ、トゥベパラ、ミュンジ、返事、サワネ、パン。だ、さ、ゲパネ、さ、ゲパ、ゴア、チュエポルラ、アニシティ、オタ、
So here in this verse it says again, and eliminate the two defilements. When we talk about eliminating them, this is not just sort of suppressing them temporarily, but rather like taking up from the root. So say we have like some kind of plant we want to get rid of. If you just keep cutting it at the top, it's going to keep growing back. But if you take it up from the roots, it's no longer going to grow at all. And so this is what it means to eliminate these kinds of defilements. And this begins with the point of what we call the uninterrupted path of the path of seeing. So at this point, when we're talking about the progression of like a bodhisattva, this acts as an antidote to those kinds of acquired grasping at a self. And then once one proceeds to the second ground, beginning with what we call the path of meditation and proceeding through this from the second ground to the seventh ground, one is then eliminating through the course of what these uninterrupted paths, as they are called, in the context of meditative equipoise, the kind of innate grasping at true existence or grasping at a self. And so when we think about innate grasping, this is something that arises naturally without thinking about any sort of reasonings or any sort of conscious thought. We have this innate sense of a self or an I. And we also have, terms of this kind of innate grasping, we have an innate grasping at permanence. We don't really have to use any kind of reasoning or think about this, but it naturally arises for all of us. So to give an example, like I came up here and began teaching maybe in June or July, and when you all see me now, you probably think like, oh, that's the same person. This is the same Geshe Jinpa as was there before. We think this with respect to everybody, right? We have this sense of like, if it's our kid or our friend or someone else, like this is the same person as it was before. When in reality, yes, there is a continuum there, but it's not the exact same person. That person is changing from month to month, year to year, even moment to moment. They're not remaining static or permanent even for a moment, but we have this innate, natural kind of sense that, oh yeah, the person from last month is the same person as now. And so in this way, that kind of innate, and I gave the example of innate grasping at permanence, but our innate sense of a self is being eliminated progressively on the various grounds, as we call them, this kind of mental development. And when one arrives at the eighth ground, one has then eliminated all of the afflictive obscurations and is then beginning to eliminate those kinds of cognitive obscurations. And finally, when one gets to the tenth ground, you eliminate completely all of those and move to the ground of Buddhahood, attain that state of Buddhahood. So this is the kind of progression by which a bodhisattva proceeds to eliminate completely those two defilements in this kind of
progression. What that in did you to be enough? Milu to a that did to That did it, same give me a give you. 다 디금나 캄바데 소치부 쉐보 나 하이 샤메 캄트르주나 셈기부 메나 톤도치부 요마 다 디금나 베주 다 쉐보 베테 치 잠불링 나나네 베주 엔기 주베 나로야 츠웨게 디데치 요와이 메나 셈기부 메나 톤도치부 요마 데나 왕자 잠불링 참마소소는 왕자르치 슈크치무주나 셈기부 메나 톤도치부 요마 다 디네 파도니기
So, if you are able to do that, you'll attain the unexcelled enlightenment and make your human existence meaningful. Your human existence will be meaningful. So, obviously, if we are able to attain such a feat in this lifetime, our life would be quite meaningful. But we often talk about how precious this kind of human life is. This sort of human life, we have the kind of capacity. It is so precious because we have the ability to do virtuous things. We have the kind of intellect and understanding to be able to use this life in a meaningful way by putting ourselves toward positive kind of action. But if instead we just sort of use our life for non-virtue, use our life to engage in negative actions, striving after just like getting what we want, we're not really going to make this life meaningful. It's obviously the opposite of what it is talking about here. And so here, if we're just thinking about sort of the affairs of this life and getting just what we need for this life, it's not likely that this will be very meaningful in any kind of way. But if instead we make a sort of effort to try and cultivate peace and happiness within our own mind, and then from that basis think, you know, I don't want to harm other sentient beings. And not only do I not want to harm them, but I'm going to try to benefit them as much as I am able to. If we really do that as much as we can, if we do the opposite of sort of just following after our own self-interest, we really can make our life meaningful. We can use this kind of precious human rebirth in order to do something that will be meaningful for our future. So if we do that, there is the possibility of having some kind of peace and happiness, actually, even beginning in the present. But even if in this life we are not able to find sort of peace and happiness in our mind, then it really doesn't matter what else we try to do, what else we try to have. We're not going to find it somewhere else. Like people say all the time, oh, you need to be happy, you should try to be happy or find happiness. But if you can't make your mind happy, if you can't work to establish some kind of peace and calm and happiness within your own mind, then it doesn't matter what else you have. You could have all of the most excellent things. You could be incredibly wealthy and have all kinds of houses and cars and possessions and all sorts of things, but you still wouldn't be happy. Or you could have like control. You could have a massive amount of influence and control over many sorts of things, but if you don't work on your mind, you're not really going to be happy. So you could have all of the health, like wealth in the world. You could have dominion over the whole world, but you're not really going to be happy unless you work on your mind. But if, on the other hand, you make some sort of effort to pursue that inner happiness, then even though you might have just enough to sort of fill your belly and clothes to cover yourself and shelter, you're able to be happy. You're able to feel that kind of contentment. So we should recognize that making life meaningful really begins with cultivating that kind of peace and happiness within our own mind, because we can't find it somewhere else.
Some of the digging my jar should chit on the wonky, handsome much of your mura, that is the zoo, negamso, my jar, ma, jar, jar, tabla carsina, 다 소소래 사과 유미 다제시 다 소소래 사과 망부 통해요리 소소래 연재나 망부 통해요리 당에 맞자시고 다 나랑 나랑 투자서 맞자 다양지 스갑갑다 당 강양 중금이도 내다 편의 중금이도 상에서 마시니 양지 요로 당 강 토네 말아 케케 민도 상에서 마시는 내가 없어 양스 못 집어줘 근데 내가 없어 양스 빵토로 땅 빵토로 땅에 때 람네 교와 가서도 마직 삼았다. 맹강 가라 직 삼았다. 람네 교 가서도 나네 교 들을 심지에가 난다. 가서 교도 저도 교와 저도 마직 삼도 들을 때는 엄마다 오지리 삼야 집이야 삼야 디스 빵토로 연구로와 빵토로 땅 다시 아 되자 공부 나가라 소고 전에 유몽 전에 망고 전에 용두기 내 소소소소 카티브자이레레레 용고와 다 틱도자 공부라서 부터도 용한 내 납수 카톡라데 남상 카티브자이 카레 카고레 이내 양고 카리 글리 삼고 카리 글리 땅아이나 아니 고와 자도에 용고와 고 카리 글리 삼땅 다고 뉘름이 냐에 말아 말아 그 뉘자소 삼 지린 삼 땅 삼인 삼 땅자소 아니 셈도 도르시 다 간삼년 내가 초조해 용고 안디 내신이 되자가 돌아양 삼로 땅땅땅땅 야땅 두루 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 야 두루 대연도 간삼네 나 안마대 마게티 내좀 플라이어 뭐 왔다 대소게 다 용어인 되게 되자 중앙인 배나 그 중앙 중 뒤에서 제 중앙에 아 유리고 마냐라나 자도 얘기 삼았다 자다 마 어디 디제 그릇 마 자다 쟤도 안심마 룰루 참고와
However much we are able to, we should try to cultivate this kind of peace and happiness within our own mind. And we need to understand how to use the kind of meditation tools. We have talked about various types of meditation here, and there are others as well, in order to deal with our mind as it may be. Like for example, sometimes we deal with our mind being sort of too lofty, too high up, like we're prideful. We think, oh, you know, I'm the best. There's only me. There's no one better than me. And we're kind of dealing with this strong, prideful or arrogant kind of attitude. And so in order to reduce that pride, in order to get rid of that, we need to contemplate like all of those that are actually better than us in terms of whatever qualities it may be. And so by contemplating, by actually looking at the nature of things, we can see that we're not really the best in that way that we are holding on to. We find a way to confront and deal with our pride. Or we can have the opposite kind of a problem where our mind is really despondent. We're really in this place of despair, like, oh, there's no one worse than me, or no one that has less than me, or no one in a worse situation than I am. And by actually contemplating those kinds of beings who are in much more pitiable situations than yourself, you can give some kind of perspective, like looking at all of those beings who are in hospitals or suffering in different ways, all of those beings within the animal realm that have it worse than us. And so whatever kind of affliction it may be, whether it is our desire or our anger, our pride, our jealousy, we need to try to learn to directly confront it. It can be difficult in that moment to confront whatever affliction is arising, but we should try to do that. At the very least, not allow it to continue. We shouldn't sort of hold on to the continuum of that. So if we get angry, we shouldn't allow ourselves to continue to be angry, but rather should see the faults of that, try to stop that anger and prevent its continuity. And so if we allow ourselves to sort of like hold on, we get angry and then we get into resentment and we're holding on to that, the faults that are going to come from that will get graver and graver. And so too, we are going to have like attachment arise from time to time. And when we feel attachment, we should try to prevent it from continuing, growing stronger and stronger. And so it will come, but we should try to get rid of it, try to confront and get rid of these things. And by doing these kinds of methods, we can develop a kind of peace and happiness within our own mind. And not only that, we then are able to think about, say, benefiting others and developing those kinds of altruistic attitudes. So I think this is something where We should make an effort to work with whatever kind of afflictions we have and try to, at the very least, not allow them to continue and try to directly confront them, trying to develop within ourselves that kind of peace and happiness, recognizing that this is the real root of our peace and happiness is working with our mind. We can't find it somewhere else.
So here,
as it says, since your human existence will be meaningful, you'll attain the unexcelled enlightenment. Now, it may be difficult for us to attain the unexcelled enlightenment within this one short lifetime, but we can, whatever sort of merits we accumulate, one virtue, two virtues, whatever kind of virtues we accumulate, we should dedicate toward that kind of cause that we might one day be able to attain that. And in that way, by doing that, we will most definitely make our life meaningful. So then what comes below are the seven riches that were referred to before. There was a reference to the Arya's seven treasures, or seven riches, and they come here. Beginning with, as it says, the wealth of faith, the wealth of morality. The wealth of giving, the wealth of learning, the wealth of conscience, the wealth of shame, the wealth of insight, these are the seven riches. So here, beginning with the wealth or the jewel of faith, here faith really generally has a sense of like admiration. When we see things like the Buddha, for example, we feel a kind of admiration based upon seeing the qualities of, for example, the Buddha or the Dharma or the Sangha. And there is also a sense of faith as being a kind of conviction or certainty when we talk about having faith in karma, cause, and effect. To have the kind of conviction or be certain that when one engages in a positive action that it's going to lead to a result of happiness, or when one engages in a negative action that that will lead to suffering. That is conviction in karma, cause, and effect. And in order to gain the kind of certainty in karma, one needs to first have a kind of belief in cause and effect. And it's based upon that basic understanding of cause and effect that you can really then develop the kind of conviction in karma, cause, and effect. And so this is what the first jewel refers to, are those varying types of faith, like, for example, admiring faith and faith of conviction. And then there is the second jewel of morality or of ethics. At the very least, this is the kind of ethical conduct of abandoning the 10 non-virtues, of giving up those kinds of harmful actions. And in general, ethics or morality refers to a mind of restraint, a mind that is guarding against certain behaviors. Now here, one can have the kind of morality of abandoning the 10 non-virtues all the way through taking up formal vows. So that would be like taking the vows of individual liberation in whatever capacity, at whatever sort of level. And beyond that, there are taking the ethics of the kind of vows of bodhicitta, when one pledges to certain kinds of actions, as well as above that, the kind of vows that come with the Vajrayana. So ethical discipline, morality, really is that mind of guarding against, having taken up certain commitments, one guards against particular types of behavior. And then next is the wealth of generosity or of giving. And so generosity is really that attitude of being willing to give anything away. We have talked about this previously, that kind of willingness to part with anything. And then there is the wealth of learning. So here, learning, the literal word is like hearing, but learning is very important. It is only through knowledge that we are really able to, as a verse says, avert non-virtue. It is learning that helps us to turn away or stop kind of non-virtuous actions, and it is through learning that we get rid of distractions, kind of to wrong objects, and it is through learning that we are able to eventually attain nirvana, attain liberation. So whether it is hearing the teachings or reading books, thinking about them, the kind of wealth of learning is something that is extremely important.
What the word is treyogi nor mozashiri nor so that treyota mozashigati ani kapula kapala chula chapshire ro pena pecha shabena so so kitsu de shabena onge ani kitsu shabena na kona mozashare so na mozashi 다야 계속 시험이나 코랑 나 못사서 생각 체를 세고 갔다데 때 못사 체에서나 윤제 제단데 나 코라 못사서 생각 못사체 코랑 나 못사서 생각나 아니 체에서 못사 체에서 못사 제단데 이제 다 계속 빼셔 봐봐 다 뒤 마인 배에 아 참아치기와 이나리 아니 다 간다라 낙심치기나 뇌심치기와 이나리 다 미리 봤다 지금 가슴 쪽 좀 지르고 있나 간자 되게 가르쳐 봐나 나 코나 못 사살에 세다 못다 코나 나 못 사살에 세고 되게 가파로 쓰세나 못 사체에 세래 아니 시랍게 놀았어요 땅아도 유나미나 남주 냉이 디 내버리 디 두거리 세게 인지 지게 냉이 땡지 지게 어디 남주로 시야 레버지게 심중지라 시랍스 레버와 디리 디마레 세게게 인제지게게 아 디제게 심중지라 아니 시랍스 레버레 어디체니게 노르된도아 대변으로지 조진군 노르니 동해 노르기 순 대변 노르기 시 제일 노르기 아 모자시 모자시 노르기 두 시랍스 노르기 되면서도 노르디 부부들이
So then the next comes the wealth of conscience and the wealth of shame. So here, these two are sort of similar kinds of a sense of like shame or embarrassment. Like for example, if you lie, there's a kind of, you would feel ashamed for your own reasons for lying. But if you lie as well, there's a kind of sense that like the other person will look down on you or feel sort of a sense of shame for you. So this is the difference between having a kind of conscience. These are variously translated in places, but the wealth of a conscience, as in being mindful of what others think when you tell a lie or speak divisively, when you have a kind of attachment to things or covetousness and so forth, that is conscience, as opposed to thinking about it in terms of like what for your own reasons, that is here translated as the wealth of shame. So avoiding those kinds of negative actions, both based upon what others will think, as well as what it looks like for you, that's the kind of wealth of conscience and the wealth of shame. And then there is the wealth of insight, or really the wealth of wisdom. And so here, our capacity to discriminate between what's good and bad, right and wrong, that kind of intellectual capacity, this is really the factor of the mental factor of wisdom. And it is an indispensable kind of factor to be able to distinguish between what is good and bad, what is right and wrong. And it is on this basis that we are really able to determine what is proper to do.
Oda dje ge tumbu ti na nor ki tamba ti ta ni mi se pa ye nor tun di mi ma ye la je mi cha sa ta ti nor tumbu di nor ki tamba ra se tu nor ki na yak shu de la nor ki tamba yak shu de se la re ana ko na nor ki tamba ka ra chen na yak shu re la sa na ti dje ge nor tumbu di chu so na de zu so so na te ta ta de wa tre ma se ma wo ba na ni de ne te wa ya tu sa de wa tre ye ku le tu re se ti du nor
So then it says here, these precious and excellent jewels are the seven inexhaustible riches. Do not speak of these to those not human. So here, these precious and excellent jewels are the seven inexhaustible riches. Here, they are sort of inexhaustible in the sense that Well, precious and excellent here in that they are giving you happiness right now as well as in the future. It's the kind of wealth that brings us happiness in the temporary, in the interim, as well as long term. Whereas when we accumulate material wealth, although we might think that it is bringing us happiness, it actually brings quite a bit of trouble. When we accumulate material wealth, we have to worry about keeping it, not letting it be lost. It can be stolen, it can be taken away by someone. So we have to think about how to protect that, how to keep it increasing, and so forth. But when it comes to our wealth of learning, our wealth of wisdom, here there is a verse which explains that wisdom is the best kind of wealth. As it says here, they're inexhaustible riches in the sense that, and we can think, I'm going to use the example of wisdom, but all of these could be put in this place, that wisdom is the best of wealth. Like the lamp of wisdom dispels the darkness of ignorance. And it's the kind of treasure that can't be stolen away by thieves or robbers. So here, when we have developed this kind of wealth of learning, of wisdom, really, it's not something that can be stolen away by others. It has the capacity to dispel the darkness of our ignorance. By developing this kind of wisdom, it is something that is beneficial to us in this life. It helps us to bring about happiness and peace in this life, but it also brings about good results in the future. And by laying down these imprints, it's something that can't be stolen away by others. Like if someone wanted to take it by force, or if a king, say, wanted to take it by edict, they couldn't do so. Or if, like, someone else, even if out of a positive kind of a motivation, out of a right kind of motivation, we wanted to give it to someone else, we can't actually do that. Wealth like this is something that is inexhaustible in the sense of bringing good results now as well as in the future. So the wealth of all of these seven, but like wisdom, is something that is beneficial to us in this life as well as in our future lives, and thereby are the kind of wealth that we should strive to accumulate.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མམ གསྲ 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 གསྲ
So here then it says, do not speak of those of these to those not human. And then we finish with, among others, guard your speech, and when alone, guard your mind. So here where it says, do not speak of these to those not human, it's really saying that there's not a special need for those kind of non-human beings to hear about these teachings, as they aren't really able to put them into practice. So if there was some kind of benefit that could come from our say, teaching this to others in the sense of putting down imprints in those kind of non-human beings, then that's okay. But in general, there's not really a specific reason to give these kinds of teachings to those non-human beings who are unable to really put them into practice. So that's what it is saying there. And then where it says, among others, guard your speech, and when alone, guard your mind. So here, when we are among others, we should have the kind of awareness of what we are saying. When we are amongst others, if we just let ourselves run our mouth, we really have the danger of having things come back to bite us, or really creating issues where we can have faults come to us. But if instead we are watching our speech, then we sort of reduce the potential for problems with others. And then when it comes to when we are alone, we should really be watching our own mind. If we are thinking only positive thoughts and kind of doing only good things, then we should rejoice in that. But otherwise, we should be aware of the sort of negative things or the faults that come up in our own mind. Now, generally, when it comes to, I think not just Asians, but probably Westerners as well, we definitely tend to see the faults in others much more easily than we see the problems in ourselves. Like, we tend to look out at others, and we're very good at seeing so clearly what the problems are with others, how they are at fault. But really, that's not our business. As we saw earlier in this text, it's better to have the kind of attitude of looking at the good in others, trying to look at the good in other beings, and be more aware of our own faults. See that the faults are with ourselves, and kind of be aware of that rather than looking at others with that sort of perspective. We should instead look at the better side of others, really try to, I mean, there are those occasions where if someone is doing something faulty and we have a way to help them, to like educate them or let them know, we should do that, but we shouldn't be just pointing out the faults of others in order to just point out their faults. Rather, we should try to look for the better, the good in others, and instead of looking for their faults, be more aware of our own. So here, then at the end, we have this kind of, it says this concludes the Bodhisattva's jewel garland composed by the Indian abbot Dipankara Sri Jana, which is Atisha, Ajo Atisha. And so that then concludes, again, this Bodhisattva jewel garland. And so I would just like to say how joyful I am that we got to, how glad I am that we got to go through this text. And so thank you for requesting it. Thank you for being able to do these kinds of teachings. And so from your side, there has been much virtue that comes out of listening to all of these teachings, as well as virtue that comes from my explaining them to you. And so if we really put this all together, if we take all of this virtue, we should dedicate it toward, really, as we say in our prayers, for the purpose of generating that attitude of bodhicitta where it has not yet arisen, and where it has arisen, preventing it from declining it and declining and causing it to increase more and more. When we put our virtues toward bodhicitta, toward unexcelled enlightenment for all sentient beings in this way, then they become inexhaustible. They don't lose their potency until that result is achieved. And so we don't need to like necessarily say a particular words of a dedication, but in our thoughts we should make such a dedication of all the kind of positive merit virtue that has come from listening to these teachings.
Awale pyo kato chenju se mandobyo tengwa toje chenpo la cha tsa nga wos wate che nge tang hen nye ma gyun tabo te ngala di gyume ge biti ke ke dukta ke o tende si nung tok kyo re gyun tabo te gen kato nga tok kyo re dukta nosang dukta zeng yung so o tende che nge to che shui tene tibo tila ya na tibo nung do che.
So then, just to make an auspicious connection that we might like hear this text again in the future, I'm going to recite a little bit from the beginning. So the Bodhisattva's Jewel Garland by Atisha Dipankara, and the Sanskrit title is the Bodhisattva Manivali, and homage to great compassion. So here, as far as my having attained this text, I received the transmission of this, like you may, from Losang Dukta. And so this then I pass on to you, and maybe have the sort of continuity of this teaching. And then we'll open it up for question and answer.
Do you want to hear?
There must be some intent or something between that. I don't understand. The Dila Mima Yenla Jemija, a Gomba Carreres, the Chita Nanzo, the Mima Yenla Jusani Yomares,
and the Gomba Mima Yenba the Juna, meaning Shinki Kuzu Gerba, the Duke to Maris, meaning Shinki Kuzu Gerba, the Duke to Maris. And here, Jig, Mima Yi Kashi, Namju Travat in the Yot in the Yimba Indu, Kashi, the Diggy, Tata Nizu Chimachi Machin Pachin, and Konsu Lotaki, Yamatin de Murwa, who did give Yamana Yabu Maris, Tichini, Mima Yimba the Mashus, Tayachi Guba, Kabra Chin, the Diggy, Jig Pajab to Bushay, Tang Tindigi, Nedan Tindina, Jonati Hurwa, who combat Nareb, but in the Yisrael Sangu.
Where it says, don't speak of this to non-humans, do not speak of these to those not human. what I think the meaning of this is that those who are not human in the sense of lacking the kind of basis and intellectual capacity and so forth, they won't really be able to fulfill the purpose of these instructions. Like, you want to help someone else with this instruction, but unless they have the kind of conditions like a human intelligence and so forth, they can't really fulfill the purpose of what these instructions are being given for. And I think there are probably some circumstances with certain beings who maybe could understand a little bit, but there's the danger of having a misunderstanding. So they hear these instructions but give rise to like wrong understanding about it. But there are those occasions where there are non-human beings where you might want to talk about or teach about these things in order to lay down imprints, and I don't see a particular harm in doing that. But in terms of what Atisha's intention would have been, this isn't coming from like some particular commentary, but just Geshe La's own sort of understanding of what it might have been.
Mi mayimba tila, tutu sanje tsiku mayimba che, mi mayimba tila, mi mayimba sige tachi lu yore, ani ta nuchi tan tachi lamayi se jura, lu tan lamayi na, ani layo. Then how many young people are in the world? Some travel to the Mongol. When you have also been that chick, Sherash has only had a young woman.
So in terms of like non-human beings, they're not just animals, but there are like nagas and asuras. And asuras, like the sort of demigods, tend to have a lot of different sort of thoughts that are going on. And so those types of beings, there's the potential for misunderstanding, maybe, with a kind of like all that they have going on. So, yeah, good.
Relative reality is so convincing and pervasive, and scientists study it and we're immersed in it all the time, all day long. But absolute reality is so elusive, and we can kind of know it through analysis, but how can we know it better through experience?
Okay.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. I'm trying to find. Sorry, I'm like not. I can't memorize exact words. So. Relative reality, like conventional reality, is so pervasive and convincing to us. Like, we're in that all of the time. Can you finish? Sorry, can you repeat the last part of the question?
An absolute reality is elusive.
Yeah.
We can know it by analysis, but how can we know it by experience?
So, yeah, and then absolute or ultimate reality is elusive, and we can know that sort of through rational, like, reasoning, but how can we better know that through experience? So,
Toya 마란족이 일단 수통하는 신기 아니 곧 그냥 통금 말했어. 수통하는 신기 여러 가다 어디에 통하는 신기 그냥 통금 말했어. 다고 양용 토비야지 그래서는 다 그게 당시에 제 아니 감사함 지는 데는 예바지 내용들이 아니 감사함 지네 되게 예바 약 내용들 아니 순랑 그 치료 근데 시절에 인 거이나야 남상 규모대 쓰겠지 양용 토해 주어했어. 디 양용 토해 디 야내세 오 전남도 등급 말해 나와 경제 시절에 나 나와 남신 집에 매 삼만 삼 대셔야지 어디 양용지 제제는 뭐도 있고 말해 규모대로 나 세주로 미남대비 나와 어디 디냠용 사야데 제일 못 어디요 다디 군대 약과 때 대셔서는 일년 분 내가 소에 냠용 토비에요 다디 미남대비 따라서 세다 감나가 찍듯이요 어디서 다 미남대비를 하는 거 냠용
So I hope this gets at the question. So here, when it comes to like having an experience of absolute or ultimate reality, this is something that we can have, but it only comes after investigation. Like, it's not the way that the conventional appears to us, and it's just appearing, like a form appears and that's how it is. We can't have that kind of like experience that comes prior to engaging in investigation. But when we do investigation, when we investigate into that kind of ultimate nature, we get to a point where we have like a taste of that, an experience of that, and we're trying to cultivate and deepen that over time. And so that's something where when we get to the point of having really gained a level of conviction and certainty in that, we can get to where whatever appears to us, like say when forms appear, we recognize them as being like illusions. But it's not something where we're able to like have that experience prior to the investigation and analysis. And so once we do some kind of investigation and analysis, we get a taste of that, and we're able to, like through repeated familiarity and habituation, be able to develop that to the point where whatever appears, we can see, where we recognize, we have that kind of understanding that, okay, this is appearing to me, but it doesn't really exist in that way. It's illusion-like. And so you actually get to a point of development in the path where you are even able to recognize in your dreams that things are illusion-like, like just having that kind of awareness even in your dreams. But this is something that we can't get to without investigation and analysis. So that's something that, yeah, those experiences will come, but they come only really at the end of that.
So you said kleshas, the kleshas, like defilements?
Yeah.
Like avidya, ignorance. So avidya, not vidya. So I think avidya is wisdom, and you brought up wisdom. And I think it is like one klesha. Like in the other kleshas describe that like one klesha that's like, I think what not wisdom would be, or ignorance would be dualism, or emptiness and nihilism, and then this we're talking about relative reality would be dualism, but ultimate reality is not nothing, it's the Buddha nature, it's one, it's wisdom.
I'm not quite getting the question, so.
So he brought up the kleshas and wisdom is a big part of what he was talking about. And then we have to get rid of, through our, I guess you hear through the practice here, which is progressive, you're getting rid of the defilements.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's 10, you can number them. But ultimately all the numbers are really talking about avidya, ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So you can then say, the word is avidya, so ignorance, so to interpret vidya would be wisdom, just be wisdom. And ultimately wisdom is Buddha nature. Or wisdom is ultimately, yeah, just what we're awakening to is why we're here.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm just, I'm sorry.
I'm responding on her question.
I'm talking
about okay, but I just didn't know if there was a question there.
Sure, Vidya. Vidya is wisdom. Like, even the idea of a connection of wisdom to dualism, like, is ignorance. Dualism is ignorance, and nihilism is ignorance. Those would be extremes. That's a question. And then in between would be awakening to that nature.
No. No, change no in the summer, Maribu Kong. Rangu, the Japan number of Juba Sinjunaya, Maribu Yore, isn't it? You get your tata. The sheriff, that was in the sheriff, the sheriff is on that. Some way out came married, there was sheriff, yaga, sheriff, yaga, to where you
read. No. I'm just like not quite getting what the like.
What were you asking?
Yeah, I'm not getting the question. Like it just keeps trying to.
Yeah, like a translator. I guess part of it is like is knowledge. So we're dealing with knowledge, which is part of like dualism. But Vidya is wisdom, which is part of the awakening to wisdom. It's totally what we've been talking about tonight. But in the Kleshas, through our meditation, even our meditation we did tonight was just on emptiness. It's just.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea is like just the idea of the Vidya or ignorance. I guess part of it is there's one Klesha, ultimately, there's one Klesha. And it's about going to finding wisdom, and it's not about knowledge, it's about just immediate present wisdom.
I feel like you're making more of a statement than a question. It keeps coming back to a statement, and so that's where I'm having trouble,
Sure, but then if you assert a statement, I guess there's also sometimes debate, if you assert a statement, it's like, is that right or wrong? And you can say, maybe that's a statement, but I heard the statement, maybe it'd be better to say it this way, or maybe this is not a way of thinking about it, that's a good way of thinking about it.
Are you asking if wisdom is not developed, it's just there?
Well, she's talking about ultimate reality and relative reality. Uh-huh. So then again, we talk about dualism, where there's certain things like, are you enlightened when you dispel dualism, you're enlightened. I mean, there's that. I mean, you just put it that way. Okay, that's a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you dispel dualism, are you enlightened? Are you awake?
Kanasa?
So I guess Ninang Selma the Sangyerbes.
Ninang.
Ninang Mepasana Sangyerbes.
What are you? Yeah. This is what it is. Ninang Tuya Chate Mepasana and Sangyer. Nina Sejura, Kore Moon and now an ancient Mevati, Meva so to be chosen and a son Gabri, Tare, or Nina Mevasuna, said Tare.
Yeah, I mean, if you get rid of that part of appearing as truly established, then yes, you would be enlightened.
Answer Gabati and Jumata.
Yeah, we can continue with this later. I'm sorry that I'm having like trouble just. It jumps from a number of different things, so I apologize for my lack of.
I have a little question, it's just clarification.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the seven ridges, is the one consciousness shame, would that also be translated as awareness or mindfulness? Is that the angle kind of that?
Tell you.
Wait, which, okay, so sorry, there's one that's conscience, And then there's shame.
Okay, they sort of got grouped together, I thought. So maybe that's...
Yeah, they were next to each other.
Yeah, so conscientiousness is like thinking about what others would think. What are others going to think? Shame is like thinking about it for you.
You can also say for the conscience one, like decorum.
What's the deal?
Understanding what's taboo or offensive.
I
can't hear you with that. I'm sorry. I'm sure you're saying something.
Yeah, decorum, as in thinking about what others will think. Like, so usually these are distinguished by others' reasons and your own reasons. So, like, there's a sense of decorum. There's a sense of what we should and shouldn't do. So I'm not going to do that because that's what we shouldn't do. Or I'm not going to do this because this is not what I want to do. Like, thinking about yourself more as the reason or others. And that's what is usually given for those. And this is a very common grouping. But we'll leave that for next time because the time is up for tonight. So. If you don't do the thing and you or the tune and you just say it directly, that's okay.
Sabobote, your own, Jema, Sabobote, you can do two tillet, Lent, Jeva, check it out.